take a break out of 1 Timothy because God's been laying something on my heart for the past, really the past couple months. I've been looking, we had a test run last week for you guys that weren't here because it was cold outside. So we moved inside into a construction project and it was fine. It was great. And it was warm and the wind didn't blow. And but I've been looking forward to this day for a long time to be able to gather here. And we didn't even know where here was going to be. And we were fine with just being wherever because we don't need a building and we know that. But this building, man, this building is awesome. Right? Especially if you guys, if you didn't see this place before we started on it, you had about 3 minutes from the moment we took possession until it was different. But if you didn't get to see it, Travis has a video that he shot, praise the Lord, because I'm terrible at that, of what this place looked like. And it was just a dump. It was a Chinese restaurant looking place, and it was just disgusting. And there's been so much work that has went into this place from all of you guys. Okay, whether you think that you haven't been a part of this because you physically haven't been here, we know you've been praying, we know you've been giving, we know you've been doing, it takes everyone, right? It takes an army to do that. And this is amazing, right? And even though, like I said last week, even the owners of the building came in and they're like, this is amazing, this is not the same place, and it's a transformation. And we're going to talk about transformation today. I want to pause in 1 Timothy, and I want to talk about a transformation because I'm the kind of guy that I love physical pictures of spiritual truth, right? Because I can see them, and I can see it, and I can relate things to it, and it's easy to put a picture in my mind of what's going on, right? And I love how Jesus taught like that. I love how he laid parables out like that so that we could really kind of get our finite minds wrapped around. And really, they were confusing, right? But we can take those pictures of what Jesus was talking about and teaching, and we can understand them a little bit better. Today we're going to do that. And if I was to stand up here and to thank every single person that took part in this, we would just thank all of you. So I'm just going to do that. And like Travis said, you guys aren't doing it for praise of yourself. The things that have went in, the hours that have went in behind the scenes, and I'm the kind of guy, I like to be here when things are going on, whether I'm just a roadblock or a stumbling block, because I like to sit around and drink coffee and do nothing, or if I'm here to be able to help in some kind of labor. But sometimes I'm not, and it gives me anxiety because I don't know why. I'm weird like that, and I think it's, Annie calls that a control freak or something, so I think that's what she calls that, but she doesn't call me a control freak, that's what she would call someone like that, right? But so there were some late hours, there were some late nights, there were some long days, and things have happened, and people have donated from all over the community and outside of the community, and things have, this didn't just happen. Is what I'm trying to get across, okay? And it goes the same way with our lives. So, this place was just a rundown, built brick and mortar building that was just falling to pieces. And it's just like this town. If you spend any time driving around this town, there's some really nice neighborhoods, but there's some neighborhoods that have really, they've been abandoned. And they haven't been upkept. And what happens when buildings become abandoned and they don't have any upkeep is they begin to deteriorate and they begin to fall apart and they begin to, and then what happens? Somebody comes in and they tear them down. And then there's a vacant lot. And then maybe someday somebody will come along and they'll build something new there. And it's a picture of our life because without Christ, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, but without Christ, we are empty, we're vacant, we're just a run-down building that's falling apart, that's deteriorating by the day, and eventually it just all comes crumbling down. That's what has to happen for us to meet Christ. It's got to come crumbling down. It's got to be torn down. Our life has got to be torn down to nothing, to a blank slate where we understand we can't do anything aside from Christ. And he comes in and he does an amazing work. He begins to rebuild. And in an instant, we were made new. But then it takes time. And that's what we're going to talk about today. It takes time for things to happen in our lives, because it would be super awesome if we, when we become born again, when we become children of God, that yes, we are changed in an instant, but what if we were just like, we're perfect and we walk with God and we read His word and we evangelize and we do everything to glorify God with our lives. I think growth is important. Growth is painful. And if we didn't have to go through that sanctification time, if we didn't have to spend time growing, we would not rely on Christ. Right? We're like, well, we don't need Jesus. Yes, He paid the price. He gave us new life. But now look at me. And we begin to become me monsters. So today we don't have a set text that we're going to be out of today, but I love pictures of transformation. In my job, I work on junk. My boss buys junk, and I've shared this with you. He buys junk, and then we take that junk and we turn it into something that's worth something and that someone wants to dwell in. They want to have a home there. And I get to see that transformation process take place from the very beginning stages clear to the end. And we're on a project like that right now in Pleasant Hill. There was an old drug house. It was on a corner lot. It was an eyesore in a beautiful neighborhood. He did exactly what you're supposed to do and buy the worst house in the best neighborhood. And it's been a transformation. And what's really awesome about it is it's on the corner lot. And it's been, you know, if I'm outside, someone stops by almost every day and says, "Holy smokes, thank you. Thank you for doing this." And I'm like, well, praise the Lord. I get paid for doing this. So you're welcome. But people see the change, and they've seen it from being stripped all the way down to studs and nothing else. There were studs and trusses. It was just an open floor plan. And what happened is we stripped all that down, removed all of the garbage, right? All of the drug paraphernalia, all of the mold, all of the cockroaches, all of the termites, everything. We got rid of everything, and then we began to rebuild. And it's just like our life. God did work in my life. He stripped it all down. He removed all of the sin, the past life. And He began to rebuild new. And He continues to do that daily. So today, turn with me to our theme verse for our church. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn there and look at it. Some of us can memorize or recite that, but some of us need to see it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Meaning, we are not the same as we were before we met Jesus. Meaning that we do not represent that same person anymore. We do not serve that same person anymore because we are become new. We are in Christ. We are a new creature. We should not resemble the old man. But oftentimes we do, right? Because we slip up, we fall into sin, we revert back because that's easy. And we need to remember, Jesus Christ made me new, but why do I continue to go back and dwell with the old man? Why do I continue to go back and spend time with them? Because there's nothing good there. I need to remember, man, I'm in Christ. He's made me a new creature. That old stuff is, it says it's passed away. We know that means it's dead. It's gone. But we dig it up and we begin to revisit it. There's only one way to be a new creature. There are things that we can try to do to look new, right? We can put a new roof on. We can put some paint on the walls. We can cover things up. But if it's not torn down, the old stuff's still there. Okay, in this building, believe it or not, there's still a lot of old stuff that some really watered down paint covers up. That awesome donated ceiling tile covers up. If you guys seen what was under here, you know that we'd be like worshiping dragons and stuff. But we covered it up. But that doesn't mean that it's not still there. We call that covering and justifying. We covered it up so we don't have to look at it. In our life, we have sin that we don't want to repent of, so we just cover it up. We begin to just, you know, well, it's still there, but it's okay. That's so that we can go back and spend time with it. We can go hang out with it. We can go swim around with it. That's not made new. It's like a Band-Aid. Here's the thing. We're going to talk about transformation. But in order to have transformation, Jesus is the transportation to the transformation. He is who gets us there. He is the one that does it, because if not, we are doing it, and we are the transportation. We are the one driving the bus. We are the one trying to get where we want to go. And if we don't rely on Jesus, it's become all about us. So the only way to become a new creature is to be in Christ and to let Jesus run our life. Let Jesus lead us, and let us be a servant. Let us be a follower of Christ. Let us be a little Christ. So transformation happens in the at the moment of salvation. We know that. We are made new. We are in Christ. We become a new creature. Okay? I'm not saying that we're not. But the problem is that people begin to think that, okay, I'm saved, so I don't have to worry about anything anymore. Well, you don't have to worry about your eternity, but you need to worry about your relationship with Christ. You need to worry about walking with Him. You need to be worrying about growing closer to Him. You need to worry about your neighbor. You need to worry about your boss. You need to worry about your husband, your wife, your children, your family members. You need to worry about getting Christ to them. And we have that's going to be a transformation in your life, because you go from serving sin to serving righteousness, which is Christ, and those two don't go together, and it's going to be a clash. It's going to be like World War III in your life, because your sin wants to drag your flesh back, but you're like, I don't serve sin anymore because I'm a new creature, and you're like, I need to serve Jesus. I need to be doing this. We're born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Jesus Christ is perfect. And you can see 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. Let's look at that. Or I'll read it real quick about that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says this. It says, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another in a pure heart fervently. That word fervently means like smoking. I love that word, smoking hot. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's eternal. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as flowers of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flowers thereof fall away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is what changes your life. This is what transforms you from darkness into light. This is what gives you hope. This is what points you to eternity, is the word of God. So how about we do that? We're born again by Jesus. We have new life. New life is breathed into us by Christ through His death, burial, and resurrection. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it says this. I'm going to just fly through these for the sake of time. It says that you put off concerning, okay, so we have a new life. We put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, perfection. Okay? Jesus Christ lives inside of us now if we're born again. If you're not born again, then this is not to you. You're still stuck back in the verse 22. You're still stuck with the former conversation. You're still stuck in the old man. But we have new life. And we have a new residence. We have a new home. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our conversation, our residence, our citizenship is not here. Okay? It's not here. It's not in Clinton, Missouri. It's not in Henry County. It's not in wherever you're from, wherever you're abiding in. This is temporary. Citizenship means permanent. Okay? Meaning our citizenship now is in heaven. That's what oftentimes we get that confused, and oftentimes we're like, well, this is my home. No, this is not your home. You are not of this world anymore. We have a new destination. We have a new destination. And we know the verse in John chapter 3, verse 16. But we have a new destination because God loves the world. Because He sent His only begotten Son. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That everlasting life is not in Clinton, Missouri. That everlasting life is not in Missouri. That everlasting life is not in the United States of America. That everlasting life is in heaven. Okay, so I'm getting somewhere here. We have a new purpose. And then if you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, I got to get there. Ecclesiastes chapter, gosh darn it, 12, verse 13, it says this. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And I don't think that's the verse that I wanted there. Maybe it is. But we do need to fear God. We do need to keep his commandments. But this is the full duty of man. Maybe that is what I want to do. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So we have a new purpose. We have a new purpose, which is to what? It's to glorify God and reproduce. It is to bear fruit and much fruit and fruit that remains. And we need to be doing that. But how do we do that? Because I just got saved. I just met Jesus. How do I walk with him? How do I talk with him? In verse John chapter 15, verse 16 says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you ask of my Father in my name may give it you. It says, these things I command you that you love one another. We have a purpose. We need to have a purpose to go out and to share the truth with someone. Okay, so we're using Halloween. We're using this holiday, this man-made holiday, we're using this as a tool. We're using this tool to engage in the purpose, to engage in what God has laid out before us. And we're going to use it. I love candy, so it's a great excuse for me to eat tons and tons of candy, but it's a great opportunity for New Life Baptist Church not to promote New Life Baptist Church. Okay, yeah, we're going to give them a pamphlet inside of a goodie bag that they probably won't lay their eyes on, but maybe they will. But what we're here to do is we're here to love them like Jesus, okay? We're here to, yeah, shower them with candy and give them this and give them walking tacos and make them whatever. But we're here to be the love, the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We're here to exercise. This is a great exercise, okay? And I understand if some people can't be here, don't want to be here, that's okay. But we're going to give you guys an opportunity to exercise your purpose, okay? It's not. We don't have to go down and beat on doors. We don't have to do that. We don't have to do things like you have the mentality of, oh gosh, they're just one of those Bible thumpers. That no, we can love people like Christ with the opportunities that God gives us. We're going to funnel people through here. We're going to give them candy. They're going to go on to the next place. But what we want to do is we want to stick our foot out and trip them up as they're on their way to hell and share truth with them so that they are enlightened and understand that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. And I'm not saying everybody that's coming is lost. Hallelujah if some of them know Jesus and that they can be lights as well. But we want to give opportunities to exercise, to use our purpose. Because oftentimes believers in the world today do not use or do not exercise the purpose that they have. They don't engage in the battle. They're like, well, I'm not going to hell because I said a prayer and I know Jesus and I spend time with him, but I don't have a desire to engage. I don't have a desire to glorify him with my life. I don't have a desire to reproduce fruit and bring forth fruit that remains. I don't have a desire for that. Well, you need to do some business with God because you should have a desire for that. So how do we get in the place in our walk where we're able to apply these things? Well, it's just like this old building. It's just like this ran down building on 3rd and Walnut. Or Main and Walnut, according to the Democrat. Just like this building. You know, from the outside, it doesn't look too bad, unless you drive around back, and then you're like, whew. But from the road, we've dolled it up. We're planting corn all over the parking lot. But from the road, you're like, wow, that's not a bad-looking building. But our lives, to be able to apply these things to our life, it's going to take transformation just like this building. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. Transformation didn't happen as soon as we signed our lease on this building. transformation is not done, because if you go through those doors right there, we'll give you a tour and show you what the old man looks like, okay? Nasty. The old man is nasty. And it's a great picture of what the old man looks like right behind those doors. This building, though, has a new purpose. This building is being made new. But what about the labor that has went into this building? How did this happen? By you and I putting our hands to the plow and just getting dirty, getting busy, just doing the work. And being a doer and not just a hearer. Having a vision of what we wanted the outcome to be. And what I love about some of the men and the women in this church is that I can just say, hey, I kind of have this idea. And then I go home and come back and it's like, wow, that is amazing. That is, I had an idea that I couldn't execute on, but man, what's cool about the body is that we work together. Things are being changed and it looks different now because the labor has happened, okay? All too often, one is born again and forgets that it's going to take work to grow. There's people that were saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago that look the same today as they did when they said a prayer to accept Christ as their Savior. There's been no growth. There's been no desire to grow in their spiritual walk. And man, what time has been wasted because of that? How many lives have not been impacted because of that? God has given us all that we need to do to do the work. Okay? He's given us His Word. He's preserved it perfectly for us right here. Okay, we have the perfect instruction manual. And yes, men, we don't like to read instruction manuals. We like to try to figure it out on our own. And if you've been born again very long, if you've had a relationship with Christ, you understand, I can't do this on my own. I need an instruction manual. That takes humility. Just like it did with me with this stupid TV thing. It took humility. And then it come to find out it was just a wire. And then Satan got in it and destroyed a computer. So we're still doing it. It's just like, man... We could have met in this building the way it was. It was gross. And it's a picture of us. It's a picture. It would be in a picture of us as believers trying to live as the old man. Okay. We would have came in here. There wouldn't have been no talk about, wow, this is really beautiful. We would have talked about gold dragons and weird birds and the smell that we can't get out of our clothing. But you know what? We could have had church. It wouldn't have hindered us from getting in God's Word together and assembling together. But it would have been a distraction. Just like our old man is a distraction in our lives. The old man tries to creep in and distract us and to steal our time and to steal everything that's good that God has done in our life and try to destroy it because we're an enemy. So God gave us this vision to transform this building into something that we could be used to bring people to Christ and we could train them up and we could launch them out of here with slingshots to go into the world. I hope we have no center aisle because people are coming to Christ and they're growing and that we are so packed into this little building that we're like, what are we going to do? Well, we're just going to keep packing them in here. We'll take the chairs out. We'll sit on the floor. We can do that because they do it in India. We're just fit for that. We might get stuck on the floor, but this old building is a picture of trying to submerge ourselves back into sin, trying to accomplish something for God while glory for God's glory while wallowing around in our sin. When we're doing something that's contrary to God, we're miserable if we're believers today. So we put the work into this building and we will continue to do so. Why? Because we desire change. We desire for this to not be a gross building. We desire for this to be something that can glorify God. We desire the best building that it can possibly be. Okay? We want it to be a tool to reach the lost and to train up the saints, like I said. But what about us? Because we are the church. This is a building. We are the church. Okay? This is just a brick and mortar building that it's going to burn up with a fervent heat. We are eternal. If we're born again today, we are eternal. We will spend eternity with Jesus Christ. So we are the church. So what about us? What about the transformation that needs to happen in us? What are we doing with our building? The Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You can see that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 19. Some of you are like, you're going to the wrong chapter. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not of your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have Jesus dwelling in him, and we need to glorify him. So what are we doing to prepare for use? What are we doing to prepare the temple to be used by God? The Bible tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, right? We need to be studying the Word of God. We need to be being a disciple of Jesus. No one in this room can say, I don't need to be a disciple. We all need to be learners. We need to be preparing for battle and to prepare to take the Word to the world. Transformation has to happen. We need to renew our minds. We have to turn from worldly things to spiritual things, because there's too many things, there's too many distractions, there's too many obstacles that we're trying to immerse ourselves in that we think, well, you know, I have Jesus, so I can just plow through these. We need to forsake that and follow him. We need to renew our minds. Our thoughts shall be on the kingdom and not on the things that occupy our time. We know that this life is a battle. And what I love about the Apostle Paul is that he went through the same battle that we do. He did. And if you turn to Romans chapter 7, you can see Paul's rap song that he lays out for us. And I'm not going to rap it, but I'm going to try to read it. And he's explaining to us, hey, I'm human and I deal with the same problems that you do. I deal with the same, I'm a believer just like you. I'm a saved by grace man just like you. And in Romans chapter 7, verse 13, it says, was then that which is good made death unto me? God, for back up to 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I do, or for what I would, that I do. That do I do not. See, it's hard. I can't even. But what I hate, that I do. Paul was in a real battle. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, right? We quote this all the time, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is the present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I hate do it. That I do it, gee whiz. But sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringeth me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. So you get the point. Paul was in a battle, okay? Why did I pick to read that today? I don't know, right? Because we're struggling. We struggle with the same thing. We fight against, we try to fight against the flesh, but in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. So why do we engage in a battle that we don't need to engage in? Right? Give it to Christ. Paul was struggling just like us, and you know what? He's like, I just trust God. God's going to get me through this. He battled the flesh. It's a real battle, church. We are all in a battle. Here's the thing. We are victorious, but yet we feel so defeated. We try to live in a pit and try to condemn ourselves. We're like the dog in Proverbs chapter 26. You know what that dog did? You know what? Dogs are nasty. I don't even need to get into it, but the dog returns to his vomit, right? And it goes back and eats it. That's disgusting. If you have a dog, you know they do that all the time. It's like, that is so gross. Give me a kiss, right? You all do it. If you have a dog, you know you do it. Remember what's going in that dog's mouth. That dog is a picture of a lost man. That dog is going back and eating the vomit. Why do we act like a lost man? And why do we go back and wallow around and eat our vomit? That vomit is sin. That's nasty. That's gross. It stinks and it's already been eaten once. Why do we try to eat it again? I'm serious though. Really, we do that. If you look at your sin that you return to as vomit, every time that you go back to it and you're like, oh yeah, that's vomit. That's not really as good as it was the first time. Actually, this is really gross. And if we begin to look at sin like that, transformation is going to start happening. Things are going to change. You're going to learn. Everyone in this room struggles. I know that. None of us are perfect. I struggle. Y'all struggle. We deal with things, right? But how do we turn from that vomit and quit returning to that pile? Transformation. Small victories. It happens. It's going to take time. We wish it would all just happen in a moment. The Bible says that we're more than conquerors in Romans chapter 8. You could read that for the sake of time. Go read Romans 8, 26 through 39. But there's a key verse that I want to read in verse 37. It says, because I'm right here, you guys might be too. It says, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're not conquerors because you're special. We're not conquerors because of your accomplishment. You're not conquerors because you have some diploma or some degree or some great job. You are conquerors because of him that loved us. We're conquerors through Jesus. That's how. We're victorious because of Christ. Not in some things, but in all things. Because we're new creatures. Because transformation happened. We're not the same person that we were before salvation. And here's the thing. If your life has not changed one bit since you say you got saved, something's wrong. Okay? There's something wrong. If your car's not running correctly, what do? You go to the mechanic shop. Delaney came to the church the other day. She's like, my car's not running right. What I do? I pop the hood, check the oil. Oh, hey, go get some oil for your car. It's not running right. Go have your oil changed. Guess what? They changed the oil. They did some maintenance things. Oh, my car's running great again. What about us? Has something changed in your life? If you're walking around and you look just like you were before you say you got saved, I mean, there's going to be proof in the pudding. There's going to be fruit in your life. There's going to be something has had to have changed. Change happens at the moment of salvation. And I'm not saying that you're going to, okay, you can't compare yourself with somebody that's been born again for 30 years walking with Christ, but you're going to be different. And then transformation is going to begin to happen. And you're going to begin to grow. And you're going, a flower, you plant a seed in the ground. It doesn't bloom as soon as you plant the seed in the ground, right? It takes time. You put the seed in the ground, you water it, you take care of it, you pull the weeds around it. It begins to grow, and it grows into this plant, and then all of a sudden it blooms, and it's this beautiful flower. That's what we have to look forward to, guys. We're growing. We've been planted. We're rooted in Christ. We're watering it through the Word, and we're growing, and it's being nurtured, and people are investing in us, taking care of us, and we're holding each other accountable, and then one day we're going to bloom. We're going to be with Christ. It's going to happen. It's that time span between salvation and glorification that we've talked about so many times, that nobody likes that time span, right? We just want to be born again. We want to be with Jesus. Yes, obviously that's what we want to happen, but he has us here for a purpose, okay? And he wants us to use our time wisely, church, to grow closer to him and to share Christ with others. And it's that simple. It really is. But we complicate it with so many things. But what if we walked with Christ and we shared it with people? What would change in our life? And I know that we live a life that we have to tend to things of this world to take care of our families and our homes. But what if we were focused on Christ? He would transform us. Things would change. Do you desire to glorify God with your life? In 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do to the glory of God. And in 1 Corinthians 6:20 it says that we're bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your body, right? The price has been paid. We need to bring God glory. We should desire to glorify God with our life. We should desire to serve the one that saved us. Because we're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer slaves to sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 says this. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Why are we a slave to sin? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism into death, that like as Christ we raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We've been planted together in the likeness of his death, and shall be in also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Gone, dead, buried, the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The Bible is very clear that we are not a slave to sin. We are not a servant of sin. If you're made new today, if you have a relationship with Christ, if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in the death, burial, and resurrection, you are not a slave to sin anymore. You choose to be. You choose, you make a choice to say, you know what, I'm going to serve sin today. Jesus, I'll be back. Why? That's just, we do that though, okay? I'm guilty of that. But we're not a slave to sin. We're a servant of the Most High King. And what an honor that is for each of us. It's going to take you, okay? You got to get personal. It's going to take you doing something. It's going to take you diligently pursuing Christ. It's going to take you doing something. And instead of saying, man, I wish somebody would do something for me so I would grow. I wish somebody would invest in me. It's going to, first and foremost, it's going to take you. It's going to take you making a decision to be serious. And it's going to take you to quit telling God, hey, you need to do something, God. He did. He saved your soul. How about we turn the table to ourselves? I have some lyrics for a song I'm going to read them. I'm not going to sing them. I don't want to do that to you. But it's by Matthew West, and some of you guys probably know this because Caleb beat it to death years ago. But it says, it's a song called Do Something by Matthew West. And it says, I woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble now. How are we ever going to get so far down, and how is it ever going to turn around? I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me. So I shook my fist in heaven and said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. I created you. It's not us, then if not us, then who? If not me and you, right now is the time for us to do something. Yeah. If not now, then when? We will see an end to all this pain. Oh, it's not enough to do something. It's time for us to do something. I'm so tired of talking about it. How we are God's hands and feet, but it's easier to say than to be. That is so true. So true of lyrics. Like, live like angels of apathy who tell ourselves it's all right. Somebody else will do something. Somebody else will take care of it. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of life with no desire. I don't want a flame. I want a fire. And I want to be the one that stands up and says, I'm going to do something. If not us, then who? If not me and you. Right now, it's time for us to do something. Yes, it is. Come on, as he says. I think he was getting charismatic there or something. If not now, then when? We will see an end to all this pain. Oh, it's not enough to do something. It's time for us to do something. We're the salt of the earth. We're a city on a hill. We're never going to change the world by standing still. No, we won't stand still. And he says that several times. If not us, then who? If not me and you right now. It's not enough to do something. It's time for us to do something. Church, it's time for us to do something. And it starts with you. It starts with me. It starts personally. That song, if you go and listen to it, maybe you've never heard it before. It's been around for quite some time. I don't have the date, but it's a great song because oftentimes we do say, God, why don't you do something? Or God, will you, I need you to do it. I can't do it, which we know God needs to do it. He works in and through us, but we have to be willing to be the solution to the problem. We need to be transformed. Transformation has to happen, and our mindset needs to get off of us and onto him. It has to happen. You know what? God doesn't need to change. We try to change God all the time into our God, right? What we want him to be. But he's the same yesterday as he is today, and the same he's going to be tomorrow. He's perfect in every way. So we need to stop trying to change God and start being the change. That's the thing. We need to stop blaming God and even other people and start being the one. What if we lived a sanctified life? Who would that affect? It would affect us. It would affect you, I promise. Let God change you like we did this building. Oftentimes we live a fake life. We live like somebody that we're really not. And in the youth, we're taking the youth through the gospel course out of Luke chapter 15, and there's two sons. What are the two names of the two sons, youth? The runaway and the rule keeper. There's one of them that are listening. Actually, they're all listening because they engage really well on Wednesday nights. I'm super proud of them. There's the runaway and the rule keeper. We are the runaways and the rule keepers before we meet Jesus. Okay? We're either running off into the world or we're just self-righteous and we're puffed up. Neither one of them are any different. But the Father is a great picture of God to us. His grace and His mercy to both of His sons is amazing. And God's grace and mercy to us is amazing. And He shows us so much grace because He's like, man, I wish you would just submit to me. I wish you would allow me to grow you. I wish you would just engage in the battle. But He just pours out His grace and His mercy on us. And He's like, man, it'll happen. You know what? And each of us are going to grow differently. We're like different kinds of vegetables and fruits and flowers. And each of us grow at a different speed. And it really depends on how we're tending to it. Those corn that have the irrigation systems in there, their corn grows like crazy, right? Because the water, they're taking care of it. Some of the guys that plant corn, they're just like, well, they pray for rain. They trust God. But their corn doesn't grow as well sometimes because they're not maintaining it. The same way. We can really control how we're going to grow, church. We can use all the excuses in the world. Well, I'm just a dumb, slow kid. I've used that excuse. I still use that excuse. But if I would engage, if I would be diligent, if I would really want to, you got to get the want to in there. Things would change. If you want to change, change will happen. But if change isn't happening, it's because you don't want to. You might say you want to, but you're not. You don't really want to. You don't really want it. You're not counting the cost. You don't want it. You know what's going to cost. It's going to cost something. And I'm not talking about dollars. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about your talent. And your treasure. But it's going to cost something. You're going to have to weigh it out. Is this life that I'm building, this kingdom, more important than my late relationship with Jesus? We all have to count that. So to wrap this up, God gives us opportunities to glorify Him. We have to make a choice. What are we going to choose? The world is seeking to conform us, okay? But God wants to transform us. It's a battle. We need to renew our minds. And if you want the correct instruction, it's got to come from the Word. We want man's opinion more than we want correct instruction. Because man's opinion doesn't hurt. It doesn't cut deep. It soothes the flesh. It satisfies it. But when we begin to get the instruction from the Word, it begins to cut and cut away. And it's painful. We don't like that. So we run and we flee from that. We're like, well, that's not really what I wanted. I didn't want you to bust out the Word. I didn't want you to do that. But are you allowing God to mold you? Are you allowing the building to be remodeled? Because it needs to be. Because it's outdated. And change is good. We're not in 1990 anymore. Gold fixtures are out. Okay? They might come back, but they're out right now. You need a remodel. We need transformed. It has to happen. Because you drug some of that old life back into your new life. And it's ugly and it's outdated. And it doesn't go with anything. Change has to happen. Don't be content with being a lukewarm Christian. Jesus is in the business of changing lives, not just saving them. He desires you to be all in. He desires for you to get both feet in the water. Stop sticking your toe. What do you do when you go to a pool? You always are like, ooh, yeah, the water's nice. Or, ooh, that's cold. He desires you to just say, I trust you, God. I'm going to jump in. I don't need to test the water. We need to get trained up, church. What if we jumped in and said, man, I just want to be trained up. I don't know everything, so I need to train up. rest of your life has. Saturday is the first time you're engaged in a spiritual battle. Trunk. Park. Tyler will. What if that's the first time you've ever engaged in something about candy and telling them that Jesus Christ is? It's the beginning of transformation, church. It's the little things that lead you to the big things. It has to start somewhere. I can remember when we got saved, we just started teaching the little kids. We didn't even know what the heck we were doing. But we just knew that God had a calling on our lives to just invest the Word of God. Every person in this room has that calling to invest the Word of God. And it can start in our parking lot. Whatever you do to share Christ with them. He desires to stretch you and grow you, but you have to be willing. Jesus told his disciples to what? Forsake all the calling. Don't load up your wagons. Leave it all behind. He doesn't desire our baggage like that. So we need to be transformed. We need to make our old building new. We need a makeover. We need that Ty Pennington, Extreme Home Makeover. I used to love that show, right? I'm like, there's no way they did that in a week. But I loved that show because they would take something and tear it down and boom, they would rebuild it. And it was like it happened in a week. Like, wow, that's a new house. Tyler got a new house. Did you see him? Tyler, you're not the same one as I used to know. You know how many times I've had old friends say, you're what? That's not who I knew. You know, you have a relationship with Jesus? Where they're like, why aren't you drinking Bud Light? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? It's a great opportunity to say, that's not who I am. That's not me. I've had a makeover. And it's still being changed daily. We need to be smoking hot believers. We need to be fervent believers. So are you ready? Are you ready to love people like Jesus? Are you ready to walk with Jesus? Are you ready to reflect the light into the world? It needs to start with you. You're the solution to the problem. You are. Because if you have a relationship with Jesus, He's already done the work. He just wants you to engage. Let's pray. Father God,